From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right to the phone lines. A lot of you hanging on. Natalie first in Arkansas. She's listening on the web. Hi, Natalie.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay, so I'd like to begin by just saying that the monthly giving thing, it took me a while to get on board with that because I was a little bit nervous about signing up for something that was repetitive, and I really didn't feel like I had enough money to pay it every month. And so I eventually signed up for $15 a month, and I'm so glad that I did because, you know, it was embarrassing to sign up for so little bit, but it was the amount to which I could commit. And so I just want to encourage other listeners out there who might be considering it that there's really no minimum, and it's really blessed me, I would say, as much as it's blessing the recipients of your program. So I wanted to start with that.
Well, thank you, Natalie. Also, that is not only well-worded, but it is deeply appreciated. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes, no problem. And your show is just awesome. My question is, I was watching a program on the History Channel or something like that, and I've been listening to your program for quite a while, so it helps me, it encourages me to study, and I'm pretty keen on recognizing false teaching and that sort of thing, or I feel as though I do at this point. But one of the narrators said that Josephus wrote about, he wrote about many things that are also corroborated in the scriptures, but one of the things that Josephus did not write about are the number of babies, the two-year-olds that the author Matthew wrote about in his book in the Gospel of Matthew. And so I'm really curious about why Josephus would not have written about something so horrific, but yet Matthew did.
Yeah.
Do you have any insight on that?
Sure. Yeah, and that's a very, very good question. In fact, it's a question that is raised from time to time by those who are skeptics to the biblical account. And let me start by a modern-day anecdote. I mean, you think about Saddam Hussein and the mass murders of so many of his own people, the Kurds. And yet, before we got involved in the Iraq War, though we are involved in a 24-hour news cycle, we didn't hear about much of those murders until we got involved in Iraq. And that is true in places all over the world today. I find when I travel to places, things that I had no concept of whatsoever, which were happening as I was sleeping just a few weeks earlier in my own bed in America. So this is not at all surprising in the modern world and shouldn't be surprising in the ancient world. Think about this. Josephus himself tells us that Herod murdered a vast number of people. And yet the number of infants murdered in the massacre that is mentioned by Matthew would not have risen to multitudes of people. It would have more likely been dozens of children, just thinking about the geographic area that is involved. And so what we learn from Josephus as well is that not all Herod's wicked acts, including murder, are recorded. Josephus tells us that himself, just as the Gospels tell us that Jesus did many more good acts, which are also not revealed in the Gospels. So Herod's atrocities were not all recorded, is the simple answer to that question. When you think about the atrocities on a mass scale that he perpetrated on humanity, this may not have even hit the Richter scale in terms of what Josephus would have mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much.
You got it, Natalie. It was a pleasure to be able to talk to you on the phone today. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Lloyd. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Lloyd.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Okay. The question I want to ask is, I'm sure I'm right on this, but I just wanted to make affirming with you was that a young lady was bothered by an individual who told her that she had to remarry her old husband when her original husband had committed adultery or fornication in the marriage. So she divorced him. Now, this other individual said she still had to stay married to him. She can't marry another person. Well, Jesus gave a reason for fornication to get her a divorce. So I just want to reassure that with you.
Well, yes, Jesus did give adultery as a reason for divorce, but there is also a higher standard that Jesus gives, and that is that we should be those as followers of Jesus Christ who are always willing to work towards reconciliation, that we are those who are willing to offer forgiveness. Now, as I said many times in the broadcast, forgiveness is always a two-way street. It requires someone who is willing to forgive and someone wanting to be forgiven. And without both parties involved, true reconciliation cannot take place. I mean, that's even true from the perspective of God. God objectively offers us justification, offers us forgiveness for our sins, but that is not subjectively realized unless we are willing to embrace the forgiveness that he so freely offers to us. There's another thing that I think is very important, and that is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where he points out that if an unbelieving spouse leaves that party, the other party is not bound in that circumstance. If, however, the unbeliever is willing to stay in the relationship, the other party must not get a divorce. All of this points out the fact that we have to read Scripture in light of Scripture. The overarching point of Scripture is that God hates divorce and that we should be those who exemplify reconciliation. One other thing that I should say or append to my remarks, and that is there's an article on the biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage written by Dr. Michael Ross in one of the editions of the Christian Research Journal, and that's up on the web at equip.org. So you may want to take a look at that article as well.
Okay. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Bob. Bob is listening in Houston, Texas. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
And, first off, just wanted to really thank you for your ministry and your resources. It's meant a tremendous amount to me and my family over the years. We took a trip here a few weeks ago, and the kids in the car and popped the Privileged Planet DVD in, and that was, it was great getting the kids a chance to hear some of that. And,
oh, wonderful.
And all your resources have been really good. Well, the question that I have, and definitely correct any part of the premise of my question if I get off base on this, but when I look at the Bible up through modern days, and look at basically the historical record of demonic activity, I mean, I see a lot of recounts of angels in the Old Testament, angelophanies, Christophanies, theophanies. Then in the New Testament, see a lot of accounts of demonic activity and Jesus casting demons out of people, the man out in the graveyard, the young girl, and so forth. And then we move to modern times, and seems like with the exception of horror movies and so forth, there just really don't seem to be any accounts of demonic activity. I mean, it almost seems like when Christ came on the scene, that when Satan saw that God's plan was coming to fruition, he basically threw everything he had at him. And when Christ conquered death, conquered Satan, that maybe activity after that was somehow squashed. I mean, am I reading too much into that? It just seems odd that we have kind of those differences in activity historically.
Yeah, I think that what you are communicating is substantially correct. Jesus and the apostles demonstrated who they were through the miraculous. They were able to raise the dead. they were able to demonstrate authority over principalities and powers of darkness. In fact, Jesus, through his passion on the cross, made a spectacle out of Satan triumphing over him through his passion on the cross. And what we find in the modern epic is what we find in the first century as well, and that is that we are called to put on the full armor of God. That's what Paul instructs his hearers to do. Be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So the covering that protects us against the world, the flesh, and the devil is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And I think it's such an important part of Scripture that I actually did an entire book on it. It is a short book, but it's called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. The premise is that if you put on the covering, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you are a guaranteed casualty. Going to have to leave it at that. You can find the book on the web at equip.org. Be back in a moment.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Why does life matter more? Read Truth Matters, Life Matters More today to find out and experience for yourself the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Bertrand Russell famously said, most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership
at equip.org.
Why not drop us a line at CRI today? We'd love to hear from you. You can get in touch with us several ways. You can call us toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Also write to us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Or if you're on the internet, look us up at www.equip.org. And now once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up, I want to talk to Nancy. She's listening in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Hank. I appreciate what you do. I am transsexual, I believe, and I'd like to know if I'm destined, you know, so I've heard this, am I destined for hell? And if that happens to be the answer, do I continue, you know, is it okay to continue to worship Christ?
Well, Nancy, if you're worshiping Christ, if you love Christ, if you believe that Jesus Christ was in fact God in human flesh, then you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And what you say ultimately is that Jesus Christ, being the very one who knit you together in your mother's womb as God in human flesh, Jesus Christ is the one you want to follow. You want to follow his principles. You want to follow his precepts. And if you are sincerely one who wants to follow him, even though perhaps at this point you don't fully understand all of his principles and precepts, then you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Conversely, if you say, you know what, whatever Jesus says, well, that's fine, but I think that what I believe or what someone else believes in the modern-day culture is more important than what Jesus believed, then you're not really a follower of Jesus Christ. So the real issue is, are you genuinely a follower of Jesus Christ? If you are, he receives us as we are. We all have warts and moles and wrinkles. I'm talking about myself in particular. I have my own sins, and I continue to struggle with sin. Paul, a great exemplar to all of us, had sin and struggled with sin, but he was a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, he told his young protege, Timothy, imitate me as I imitate Jesus Christ. So I think the real issue ultimately is not are you going to go to hell because of your behavior, but do you want to change your behavior because you are genuinely a follower of Jesus Christ? So you may not have a full apprehension of what Christ would have you do, but you're saying, I'm following him, so whatever I understand is his will for my life, that's what I want. If that's the case, then he's not going to turn you away. He's going to sanctify you.
Well, if I may, Hank, if he's going to change me from the inside and I want to follow Christ, am I to look for my belief that I'm transsexual to change, or is that up in the air sort of thing?
If you really love Jesus Christ, then you want to know what Jesus Christ taught, because you want to be an imitator of Jesus Christ. You want to embrace his life as your own life. So the kind of life that you ultimately want to live is a life that's pleasing to him, so that your temple, your body, so that the metaphysical aspect of your humanity is conformed to his image. And that is a process. It's a process for all of us. But Jesus doesn't look down his nose at any one of us. Not you, not me, not anyone else. By the way, have you had a sex change surgery?
No.
Well, I'm glad.
I've been on hormones for years now.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's an article that I want to send you, Nancy, that I think would be very helpful to you. It's actually titled The Transsexual Dilemma, and it's a dialogue about the ethics of sex change. It was written by Joe Dallas, and he is one of the most compassionate people I know who really understands this field as well as anyone on the planet. He himself was involved in the homosexual lifestyle for many, many years. So I think his article could be very, very helpful to you.
Okay. Well, I'd appreciate that.
May I pray for you?
Thank you.
Father, thank you so much for Nancy. Lord, I thank you that Nancy is expressing a desire to follow you. And I thank you, Lord, that your love is so much greater than sometimes our love is, that your compassion reaches those that sometimes we turn our nose up at. I thank you, Lord, that you're our example. And Lord, I pray that I might follow your example. I pray that Nancy, too, might want to full throttle follow you, to do it your way. And Lord, I pray that in the end that Nancy finds peace in the midst of life's storms. Oh Lord, I pray that you would surround Nancy with people that genuinely love them. And Lord, I do pray as well that you would raise them up as a standard of your grace. Nothing is impossible for you, and so we pray all of this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. By the way, the article that I was talking about is an article by Joe Dallas, and following the course blazed by their gay predecessors, the advocates of transsexualism are advancing their cause through the American Psychiatric Association and the education and legal systems, as well as through the media. And the predictable outcome is increased acceptance of transsexualism and intense pressure on those who dissent, which underscores the need for Christians to articulate biblical responses to the pro-transsexual arguments. And that's what Joe Dallas does, but he does it with tremendous compassion. We need to live in accord with our assigned sex, recognizing that feelings, not one sex, are often the problem. In fact, they are the ultimate problem. And we live our lives not based on our feelings, but rather on God's sovereign premises for our lives. Got to leave it at that. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Peter in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Hank. My question is, how would you respond to someone who is arguing for a young earth with the appearance of age, using the water-to-wine miracle?
Well, I don't think it's a good argument. The notion that the universe is not authentically old but merely appears to be old, I think, creates more conundrums than it solves. And I don't think that a good teacher, and Jesus was the ultimate good teacher, would ask a student to put faith in a textbook that is intentionally filled with lies. I think that the very fact that we can do science is predicated on the fact that God is not capricious. I mean, the Greeks could never do science. They could codify the laws of logic, but they couldn't do science. The reason they couldn't do science well is because they believed that the universe was ministered by moody gods, capricious gods, or gods that would fail to give us full information. But when we look at the universe in which we live, we don't think that that universe is lying to us or deceiving us. If we did, again, we would have a hard time doing empirical science.
And I appreciate that. And I've heard your illustration about being able to see the stages of stars from millions of light years away, and that makes a lot of sense to me. But wouldn't it be deceptive to have something that would have taken, under normal circumstances, months to age?
But I don't think that's deceptive at all. I mean, it's not intended to be deceptive. What it is a very clear indication of the miraculous that Jesus Christ can and does suspend the very laws that he sets up as normative in the universe. Miracles are non-normative experiences. Otherwise, we wouldn't call them miracles. I don't think, though, the fact that Jesus Christ did a miracle means that we can't do science. What
right.
we're saying is that we have to allow for both natural as well as supernatural explanations for what we encounter in the universe that we experience.
Okay. I really appreciate that.
You got it. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate your call. With that, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Time flies, and we never take for granted the opportunity to answer your questions right here on the show Monday through Friday. And it's all made possible by people that love this ministry, that support this ministry, that pray for this ministry. Without your support, we couldn't do what we do. And we do offer resources to you, not as a give-to-get scheme. Rather, we offer those resources to you as a means of saying thank you, but also as a means of equipping you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. As we close the broadcast, remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Thanks again for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the broadcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.